you have your program and you want to find your sermon outline there, you can follow along on paper. You're welcome to take that out, as always. And I think everything electronically is working. If you brought your smartphone or your tablet, you want to follow along and electronically, you can click on the YouVersion app, Live Events, and find ACC there. And if you have your Bibles this morning with you, and I hope you brought them along as well. If not, you're welcome to grab one from the chair in front of you. I'd like you to find the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And actually, we're returning to a passage we looked at a little bit earlier. But if you'd go ahead and just hold that open, we're going to again be reading that in just a moment when we get to that point in our message and that point in our service. Today we're going to be wrapping up our series, 40 Days in the Word. And I would hope that through this experience we've had an opportunity to learn maybe to love the Word some more. And then some opportunity to learn what the Word can teach us. And then that we will have opportunity, as we do every day, to be able to live the Word out, to make sure that we're following it with our lives. And I hope some of you have started some habits and created some activities that you'll want to continue to do for years to come. But as we get into our message today, I do want to share with you that I have a confession to make to you today. And that confession would be that your pastor is a hypocrite. I am a hypocrite. Now, before you judge me too harshly, isn't it also true that there might possibly be just a little bit of hypocrisy in you? Just possibly. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about when I say your pastor is a hypocrite. I would tell you this morning, obviously, that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's His authority for how He wants us to live out our lives. That's why He's given it to us. And I know that when I read in the Scripture, I find that there are some instructions that we are given. One of those is found in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm told in Ephesians chapter 5 that I am to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And while I would say I believe in that passage with all my heart, the hypocrisy in my life is that I would confess to you that sometimes I don't always do that. Sometimes I don't love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And therein lies my hypocrisy. Webster's dictionary defines hypocrisy as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. And I would say I don't try to do that, but the second part of that definition is where I think it hits me. It also says it is a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. Now, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever maybe lived in contrast to your stated beliefs or feelings? That has happened to me. And I would just say the next time somebody says to you when you talk about church or you invite them to church and they say, you know what, I don't really want to go to church because the church is full of hypocrites, just smile back at them and said, yes, that's exactly true. The church is full of hypocrites. I haven't been in a church that wasn't full of hypocrites. Now, hopefully in the church, the hypocrites there are in the process of moving away from hypocrisy. And that really is our challenge. Because if you think about it, the opposite of hypocrisy is integrity. The opposite of hypocrisy is integrity. When you have integrity, you have a life that is fully integrated. Your actions are congruent with your beliefs. And that's where I would hope that you would desire to head. That's why I would hope you participate in worship every week. And so this week, I want us to look at, as we wrap this up, how to integrate God's Word into every area of your life. How can I make sure that I'm integrating God's Word into every area of my life? How does that happen? Now, let me just mention that it's not going to happen in your life unless you have a desire for that to happen. If you have no intention, if you don't really desire to be a man of God's Word or a woman of God's Word, it's probably not going to happen. And so it starts with desire, having a desire to want to integrate God's word into our life. And so you might be thinking, well, why would I want to, or why would I have a desire to integrate God's word into every area of my life? Well, because if we don't, the consequences can be very, very serious. Most of us, when we're hearing about weather conditions around the country, have all too often seen a scene a little bit like this. Seen that before? Now notice what happens. There was a storm, there were some things that happened, and the foundation of that house was compromised. Now that actually is one of the word pictures that Jesus gives us in his word in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and follow along there with me. As he wraps up this powerful teaching that he's given in the past three chapters, here's what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That's why I would hope you have a desire to integrate God's word into every aspect of your life, because Jesus says that's where you're going to have a solid and firm foundation. And there are really six very simple steps that we can take to help integrate God's word into your life. And these six steps are actually a reflection of the six memory verses that we've memorized each week in this 40 days in the Word. And so we're going to take a look at that a little bit closer. So this morning, let's look at these six steps to effectively integrate God's Word into my life. I need to do these six things. The first thing that I need to do, the first step that I need to take, is that I need to decide to build my life on the truth of God's Word. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24, that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. In other words, the Bible is the most reliable foundation for my life. It's the most reliable foundation for any life. And you know, the foundation that is built determines the structure that can be put together on top of it. So I want to build my life on the rock of God's truth, the Bible. Now, the reason the Bible is such a solid foundation is that truth never changes. If you build on the rock of God's word, then you're going to build on the stability of something that never changes. So that when the storms of life and the trials and the troubles and the temptations inevitably come into your life, and they will come, you're not going to collapse. You're going to be able to stand firm. Well, let me give you this morning four common foundations that you don't want to build your life on, and yet a lot of times we're tempted to build our life on these foundations. But these are unreliable foundations to build your life on. One of those foundations would be, we could call, popular culture. Popular culture. Now, do people today sometimes try to build their life on popular culture? Sure. Some people, they want to think, well, just because everybody else is doing it, or because a lot of people doing it, that's what I'm going to do. The problem is that whatever's popular today, you know what's going to happen. It's not going to be popular tomorrow. What's in style today is not going to be in style tomorrow. And so that's the problem. It's a constantly changing foundation when we try to build our lives on popular culture. Another foundation that really is unreliable would be that of tradition. Now, I realize that when I mention tradition, I might step on a few toes because traditions aren't necessarily a bad thing. Traditions can be a very helpful thing, but a lot of times people will build their lives on tradition. In other words, they say, I'm going to do it like this because this is the way I've always done it, or this is the way my parents have always done it, or my grandparents have always done it. And that's just the way we've always done it. Now, don't get me wrong, tradition isn't bad. In fact, sometimes things become tradition because they actually work, and they work pretty well. And so because they work well, we tend to rely on them. But we just need to remember that tradition doesn't last forever. Traditions can and have often outlived their usefulness and become obsolete. But remember, truth is what lasts forever. Even Jesus said this in Mark chapter 7. He says to a group of religious leaders, he said, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. I've known of a lot of churches that have acted like that. They're holding on to traditions that really aren't even in the Bible. It's just something that they've always done. And putting traditions before truth is always going to get you into trouble. But that's another foundation that really is unreliable. A third foundation that is unreliable would be that of reason. Reason. Now, we all need reason, don't we? I mean, reason is reasonable. In fact, it's God who gives all of us the ability to reason. But sometimes what you think is reasonable isn't necessarily always right. I've heard people say, well, I've always thought. And it really doesn't matter what I've always thought. What really matters is what's right to do in every circumstance. And when I only rely on intellect or what seems reasonable, then I could end up making a mistake. Reason is good, but it's not infallible. It's one of the reasons why the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, there's a way that seems right. There's a way that seems reasonable to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but how many of you have ever made a decision that you thought was reasonable, but it ended up being a mistake? It ended up being the wrong decision. Now, the most important foundation to avoid is this last one we're going to look at. The fourth unreliable foundation is that of emotion, the foundation of emotion. And some people build their lives simply on emotion, on a feeling. I mean, haven't you ever thought, or haven't you heard ever people say, hey, if it feels right, then it must be right. If it feels wrong, then it must be wrong. In other words, I do what I feel is right, or I do what I feel like doing. Now, the problem with that is that feelings can lie. And actually, they lie to you all the time. Do you know that you probably lie to yourself more than anybody else would lie to you? And you lie to yourself by sometimes thinking that your emotions have it all right. And your feelings sometimes, they're not being honest with you. Your feelings will tell you that things are going great when really they're not going that great. And sometimes your feelings will tell you that things are falling apart and they're not really falling apart at all. They're actually better than you think. That's why we've got to remember that feelings can be unreliable. And if you live by your feelings, you're going to spend a life where you're going to be manipulated by your moods. You know, most of what gets accomplished in this world today is done by people who didn't necessarily feel like doing what they did. But they made a decision not based on their feelings. And if you only do what you feel like doing, most of us would probably just stay in bed every day of the week. And a lot of times, to get anything done, you've got to do what you don't feel like doing. You know, 5,000 some years ago, the Bible said in Judges 21, at that time, there was no king in Israel, but people did whatever they felt like doing. Now, honestly, that was 5,000 years ago, but it sounds a lot like 2015. Now, to show you this morning how unreasonable and unreliable emotion and reason and tradition and popular culture can be, if we're trying to build our life on those things, I'd like to contrast just real quickly the difference between how Hollywood views something very important in our society and how actually God views it. And the topic I want to address today is marriage. and how Hollywood addresses marriage and how God addresses marriage, two very different things. Here's how Hollywood, here's the formula that Hollywood provides for relationships. And they would say, Hollywood would say, if you want to be happy, then number one, what you do is you find the right person. And so you make sure you look and you find the right person. Then number two, you fall in love with that person. And then number three, you fix all of your hopes and dreams on that one person for all of your future fulfillment. That's what you do. And then number four, if failure occurs, you repeat steps one and two and three. And then if it doesn't work, you just repeat it again over and over again, a dozen times if necessary. And haven't we seen that kind of played out? It doesn't really matter. Now, let me contrast that. Here's God's prescription for relationships. God would say, instead of trying to find the right person, you need to become the right person. You focus on building character in your life and the kind of person who would be worthy of a marriage relationship. So instead of trying to find the right person, you become the right person. And then number two, instead of falling in love, you make the decision to walk in love. Love really, if we were honest, is a choice. Love is completely under your control and my control. Love is a choice, not an emotion. Now, love creates emotion, doesn't it? There's a lot of emotion that goes along with love. Some really good emotions go along with love. But love really is a choice. And it's a choice that says, I'm going to choose your needs over mine. Love is saying, I'm going to be other-centered rather than self-centered. And so you become the right person, you walk in love, and then number three, you fix your hope on God and then honor Him through your relationship. Fix your hope on God and honor Him through your relationship. And then number four, if failure occurs then you repeat steps one and two and three. That's the difference. See, it all starts by saying, God, I'm going to build my life on this book. I'm going to build my life on your word. I don't always understand everything about it. I may not always even like what you said, but God, even if I don't agree with what you say, I'm going to build my life on what you say because I trust that you're telling me the truth. So our first way to effectively integrate God's word into our lives is we have to decide to build our life on it. And when we do, it'll make a huge difference. The second step we need to take is we need to make sure that we would feed our hearts and our minds on the Word of God. Now, I don't know if you've been reading through the Word of God at different times and notice that food will come up sometimes in connection with the Word of God. The Bible actually tells us that the Word of God is spiritual food, and it uses several pictures of that. The Bible is described as water. It's described as milk, it's described as bread, it's described as meat. That's spiritual life, that food that feeds us. And so that's everything that you need, really, for your existence. But you have to learn to feed yourself. And that's what we've been trying to do through 40 days in the Word. It's good for you to come on Sunday morning and hear a message. But it's even more powerful if during the week you learn to be able to get into God's Word for yourself and feed yourself. And just like you need physical food to have physical strength, you need spiritual food if you want to have spiritual strength. And so you have to be feeding yourself God's word constantly all the time. Think about it. If you were a construction foreman or a contractor, would you want to send a guy out to your construction site that hadn't had anything to eat in a week or two? Or if you were the commander of an army, would you send a person into battle that hadn't had a meal in over a month? Obviously, you wouldn't do that. Well, we need to feed ourselves if we're going to have the spiritual strength for the tasks that are ahead of us. The Bible says that we're all building our lives. The Bible also says that we're involved in spiritual warfare. And we're not going to have much success in building our life or in winning spiritual battles if we're starving ourselves spiritually. And so we need to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Now, one of the things that I have found, unlike regular food, when I feed on the Word of God, the more I eat, the hungrier I get. A lot of times when we eat physically, I mean, we get full, we're done eating. But the more I eat of God's Word, the hungrier I get for it. And so the more I taste and see how good the Lord is, the hungrier I get for it. And so I need to be feeding myself on the Word of God. Remember our memory verse several weeks ago, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The first part of it said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly. How does it that we get the Word of God to dwell in us richly? Well, there are five things that we can do to make sure the Word of God is dwelling in us richly. Number one, we need to make sure that we are receiving it with our ears. So we're going to use as many of our senses as we can to make sure we're getting God's Word into us. So I receive it with my ears. That means I need to hear the Word of God. You know, the Bible says actually that faith can come from hearing. That's why we need to hear the Word of God. So how do you hear it? Well, you've made a commitment to do that today. You came to worship and to church, and so you're listening to the Word of God being preached to you. I would hope that maybe some of you have either podcasts or you have CDs of the Bible or you have things that you could maybe even listen to while you're driving in the car, but we need to make sure we're receiving it with our ears. We need to listen and hear the Word of God. Secondly, I need to make sure that I read it with my eyes. Now, I know that as I look out with there, I see a lot of guys here today, and I know most guys don't like to read. I mean, that's not something that's high on their list. A lot of women, they can pour through books and get through them quickly, and I see a book like that, and I've shared with you, that just makes me nervous. And so we still, even us guys, need to make sure that we read it with our eyes. And so we hear it with our ears, and we read it with our eyes. Why do you think God went to such work to preserve this for us? It's so that we could have it to be able to read. And having a Bible in your house, just having it in your house is not gonna bless you. I know a lot of people like to have it there just to think maybe that gives you an extra favor of God. You have to have the Bible in your heart. And so you've gotta take it in by making sure you're reading it. And I'm gonna share with you a little bit later, we've given you a reading program for the last 40 days. We want you to take that and start to build on it and develop some more reading plans. Then number three, I need to make sure I research it with my hands and my mouth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm talking about here, again, going the next step and actually studying the Word of God. And remember the difference between just reading the Bible devotionally and studying the Bible is that when you study the Bible, you do it with a journal and a notebook and a pencil, and you take notes, you make sure you have something to write with. You've got to be writing things down. And that's why we've encouraged you through this series to be able to take that opportunity to SOAP. And again, if you don't understand what that means, we have some brochures out there, but it's an acrostic that stands for Scripture. And as you read, you look for God to highlight a passage of Scripture. And then you write that down. And then letter O, an observation, and you just write an observation. It doesn't need to be a Bible study from a theologian. Just what do you observe? And then letter A, an application. And then letter P, a prayer. And you write out a prayer. And again, throughout this 40 days, I've had several people come up to me and say, you know, Brian, thank you for once again just pushing me to SOAP, because I've been resistant the last few times you've told me. And this time I said, well, I think I'm going to start. I think I'm going to try. And several weeks ago, I had a 70-year-old lady come up to me and say, Brian, I've been a student of the Bible. I've been a Bible study leader. I've led women's Bible studies. And I said, I don't need to SOAP. But she said, you pushed me one more time. And I said, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. She says, it's taken my study of God's Word to a whole new level of what it's been able to help me with. Now, when we talk about researching with our hands and our mouth, soaping's good too. It's also helpful to be able to talk about God's Word with other believers. That's why one of our connection groups is so important or helpful. Those are our adult Bible fellowships that meet on Sunday morning, or one of our life groups where you can get together and talk with other people about the Word of God. Number four, I need to reflect on it with my mind. Reflect on it with my mind. Now let me ask you, do you ever talk to yourself? The real danger is when you start to answer. That might be really the danger there, but I would say a lot of times we do talk to ourselves. But probably more than that, too many of us listen to ourselves rather than talk to ourselves. And we'll have some thought go in our mind, and you know, we'll kind of capture that thought and we'll run with it. And it's really not the thought we should be thinking, but it just came into our mind, and so we listen to ourselves. We really need to be talking to ourselves. That's the problem. And so what we want to do, we need to reflect on things with our mind. And so when we take God's word, we talk to ourselves. We talk about what God has said to us all throughout the day. And we go back and we revisit that verse. Remember what God said? What was he saying? How do I apply that to my life? And so we need to be thinking about it over and over all throughout the day about what God has said to us in his word. So we reflect on it with our mind. That's kind of meditation. And then number five, we remember it with our heart. We remember it with our heart. Now, if we've done the other four, then the last one is going to be a lot easier. And that's why we sometimes we never get to this last one, because we haven't done the other four. But this last one is even going to a higher level. What we're talking about here is memorizing scripture. Now, how many of you here have memorized at least one scripture? Good, looks like most of you. If you haven't, there's a great one. It's in John. It's called Jesus Wept. That's the one everyone learned when we were in camp and growing up, because it's two words, and then you can say, I've got at least one verse memorized. Well, actually, we need to go beyond that. But I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But first of all, I kind of want to give you a picture of what it looks like to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, I can receive the Word of God with my ears. And what I brought with me today was a cup of hot water and a little tea bag. And I could go ahead and put this tea bag in this water once, just kind of dip it down there, get it wet, and I pull it back out, and I wish I could show you, but it would spill if I did. Do you think the water changed very much? In fact, probably not at all. I mean, there's a little bit more discoloration, but it takes a little bit more than that. And so I'm going to just put that back in there and kind of let that sit there for just a little bit. That can kind of represent our soul. And the tea bag is the scripture. And when we get into the scripture, you know, if we memorize it or learn it, it doesn't have to be five chapters. It doesn't have to be a whole book. It might just be just a paragraph. It could be maybe only a verse of scripture. But if all I do is receive it with my ears, it's just like kind of dipping that tea bag in one time. It doesn't really do very much good to the water if that's all we do. Now, that brings us to our third step if we're going to effectively integrate God's word into our life. And that third step is that we have to choose to live by the word of God. Now, why would you say, I'm going to choose to live by the word of God? And I'll just share with you today, because it's the Word of God that is going to give you hope when you're in a crisis. It's the Word of God that is going to provide comfort for you when you're in despair. It's the Word of God that is going to give you strength when you feel weak. It's the Word of God that's going to give you wisdom when you feel confused. It's the Word of God that's going to give you guidance when you are looking for direction in your life. And it's the Word of God that will give you the strength to resist and to fight against temptation. See, the Word of God is not only food for your soul, the Word of God is to become your standard for living. It's to be the standard by which you make decisions for the things that you're facing in life. And you've got to build your life on something. You've got to base your decisions on something. And so one of our memory verses was Psalm 119, verse 11. Remember what it said? It said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now it says, I've hidden your word in my heart, not just so that I can be a goody two-shoes Christian, you know, and get some brownie points. It says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's exactly what memorizing the Bible is all about. See, when we need the Bible the most is oftentimes when we don't have the Bible with us. We're out and about, and we're talking to a friend who's in trouble, or we might be being tempted, and we don't have our Bible with us. And that's one of the reasons why it helps us to hide God's word in our hearts, because then God can bring the word back to your mind, and he can help you because you've hidden it in your heart. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led out in the wilderness to be tempted. Three times the devil came to him and tempted him. And do you remember all three times what did Jesus do? He quoted scripture. He said back to Satan, "It is written." And that's why it's so important that we have God's word hidden in our heart. Now, I want to bring back this picture of tea one more time. Again, I wish I could show you a little bit more, but you can imagine it's been sitting there the last couple of minutes. And what I've noticed now is after that first dip, there was no change. But now the water is starting to absorb the color and the flavor and even the aroma and character of the tea. But you know, something else has happened as I look now. This water has actually taken on a whole new identity. Because no longer is this just a glass of water anymore, is it? What has it become? We now call it a glass of tea. And see, when you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you begin to absorb the nature of Christ, the flavor of Christ, the aroma of Christ. But you know, something else happens to you. You even take on a whole new identity, and you begin to become the man or woman of God that He always wanted you to be. You begin to take on that identity. The fourth step we need to take to effectively integrate God's word into our life is you've got to be open to grow from it. You need to be open to grow from the word of God. In Psalm 119, another one of our memory verses, verse 18, is actually like a prayer. And it's the prayer, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see wonderful things in your law." The Bible is full of a lot of great things, but you might not be open to them or receptive unless you've made a decision to be. You've got to open yourself to the word of God. Now, what's interesting is the Bible is often referred to as a seed. That's another description of it. And just like seeds, when you plant them in your garden, if a seed finds good soil, guess what happens? There'll probably be some growth. It'll produce fruit. Well, you know, Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 8 called the parable of the soils. And he said a farmer went out to sow his seed, and it fell on four different kinds of soil. And there were four very different kinds of results. And those four results really represent four attitudes that you and I can have towards the Bible. And what I found is I could actually display all four of those attitudes on the same day if I'm not careful. So let's look at the parable of the four soils. And let's start out with the first soil was a hard path, and we'll liken that to hardened soil. And you know what hardened soil represents? It represents a closed mind. It represents a closed mind. And think about it, there are some times, aren't there, where we don't even want to give God a chance to talk to us. You know why? Because our minds have already been made up. We've determined what we think about it, and our hearts are kind of hardened, so we're not willing to listen. And so we say, "Well, God, I don't really want to hear what you have to say about my relationships," or "I don't want to hear what you have to say about my debt," or "I don't want to hear what you have to say about this or about that." I've already got my mind made up. Now, what is the action that you respond to hear? You cultivate in your own heart an open mind. You say, "I've got to have an open mind to the Word of God. If I'm going to let God's truth really change my life, I have to be open to it. I have to cultivate an open mind." Now, the second type of soil is what we would call the shallow soil, and that represents a superficial mind. And that was where it kind of penetrated a little bit, but it really didn't have any root. And so when times got tough, it just quit growing. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We react kind of superficially to the Bible. We go to church and we might say, "Hey, that's a great sermon." But by the time we've gotten to the parking lot, we've kind of forgotten what it was all about. And that's because we really don't make the time or take the effort to let it sink in. That's one of the reasons why I give you a sermon outline so you can take that with you and maybe during the week, maybe stop for a moment, look back over that and let some of that sink in a little bit. And so the action we need to take here is we need to make sure that we make time for God's word. And I realize that's hard, but busyness, I would say, is a major barrier that keeps you and I from being the people of God that we really need to be. And then the third soil would be the soil of the weeds. And the weeds represent a preoccupied mind. In other words, God's word is given to me and the seed is planted in my mind and in my heart, I'll say, yeah, that sounds good, and I'll let it sit there a little bit and it'll start to grow. But then you know what happens? Other things in my life begin to choke it out. Worries and busyness and money and job and family, all those other things, and I get preoccupied with them, and then I don't really do anything with God's word. And that's sometimes why I can't hear from God. I would say that in 2015, one of the things that messes up believers is the fact that most of us are way too busy. We're doing too many things. And we fill our lives with a lot of good things, but not always the best things. And so we don't have time for what's really important. I love some statements that I came across that really kind of sum up our time. They said this: if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. And that's true. You can get so many irons in the fire that you put out the fire, and that's happened to some of you. And your mind, again, is so preoccupied, and it's like, God, I want to hear from you, but I've only got 30 seconds right now before I have to go to my next appointment, so you're going to have to get it in quickly, and we just don't have time. And I'll just share with you, I'm the pastor. That's been my challenge, slowing down long enough to be able to hear from God. Now, the action we need to take there is to eliminate distractions from our life. And always remember, the enemy of the best is the good. And then there's the fourth soil, and that, of course, would equal the willing mind. And that's the good soil where the seed, the truth, gets planted in your brain and in your heart, and you allow it to grow and develop, and it takes a root, and then it starts to bear fruit. That is a willing mind. And a willing mind says, God, I'm here to learn, I'm teachable, I'm humble, I don't think I know it all, so God, teach me. And the action, of course, there is to cooperate with what God says. That brings us to our fifth step we need to take if we're going to integrate God's word in our life. And we won't spend a lot of time here, but we know we just need to be committed to act on it. We need to be committed to act on God's word. Remember our memory verse, James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If I go to church and it's just going in one ear and out the other, and I just listen to it, the Bible says I'm living a life of self-deception. See, I think because I've listened to it or because I've talked about it, I've got it. And that's not far enough. I have to put it into practice. We've made this statement several times, but it's true. I only believe the parts of the Bible that I actually do, that I put into practice. Well, finally, there's one last thing we need to do if the Word of God is going to become a part of our lives and be integrated. And number six would be, I just need to learn to trust it. I need to learn to trust the Word of God. Now, why can we trust the Bible? We spent a whole sermon a few weeks back talking about that very thing. But you know, you can trust the Word because God is never going to guide you in the wrong direction. You know, other people will. Sometimes even well-meaning people. I've had friends who have sincerely given me advice, and you know what? It was the wrong advice, and I followed it. But God will never do that. You can always trust Him. If He tells you the way to go, you better go that way, because it's going to be the right way. It's going to be the best way to go. So our memory verse here is Psalm 119, verse 105, where the Bible says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. This verse has actually been called the flashlight verse of the Bible. Your word is a lamp for my feet. It's like a flashlight showing me a way in the dark so that I don't stub my toe. Are you ever, or do you ever find yourself in the dark? Sometimes people might say, yeah, all the time. Some of you are going, you know, I don't have the slightest idea what I'm supposed to be doing in this relationship, or I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing here, if I should accept this job offer or not, or I don't have the slightest idea where I need to really invest my time or effort next, or what should I be doing in the next 5 years with my life? I'm confused. That's because we've not let God's word shine into our life. So what do you do when you're in the dark? And one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning is to flip on the light. I turn on the light. And that's what we need to start doing. We need to say, hey, I'm going to trust God's word. I'm going to start reading and meditating. I'm going to get into God's word, and I'm going to say, God, I trust you that your word is going to be a light for my path and a lamp for my way. And in other words, I'm going to allow you to show me the path you want me to walk on. I'm going to let you lead me out of the dark. And when I'm confused and I don't know what to do in a relationship I'm in, I trust God that you're going to lead me to where I'm going to need to go. And when we do this, amazing things will happen. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you, as in these last 40 days, we've gotten into the Word hopefully every day or more consistently than you've ever done before. Make sure that as we wrap this up this week, you don't stop there. You don't give up and you don't quit. You want to continue in the Word of God. That's why in your program this morning, you should have found one of these. Notice it says beyond 40 days. Because one of the things that helped you be able to journey your way through the Scripture was you had a plan. There was a reading plan that you were following, and it told you where to go next. And so if you'll notice, on the back of this is what we call a 90-day quick start plan. And it's just a real simple Bible reading plan that takes you Old Testament and New Testament for 90 days and gives you kind of an overall picture. You get into Genesis. That's pretty easy to read because it's a lot of story. But then there's also a lot of New Testament in there. But then on this side, we've given you actually several websites that you can visit. BibleGateway.com, the YouVersion website. And they have hundreds of Bible plans available to you. And all you need to do is find one and say, you know what, that would be what I would want to read. And then just start following that plan so that you keep feeding yourself on the Word of God so that you can continue to integrate God's Word into your life. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're just thankful for your word. And I pray that you'd help us, because at times it is so intimidating, because it seems difficult to understand and to put together in the right way. But I thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to help guide us into the truth that we need to know, that we need to learn, that we need to understand. And I pray that you would help us, as we have made some commitments in these last 40 days to get into your word, that there would have been a hunger that's developed in our soul to be fed by the truth of your word. And that as we wrap up these 40 days, it won't be the end of a journey, but the beginning of a lifetime of being fed and nourished from your word. So Father, continue to lead us there. Once again, we ask for safety as we go to our homes, and pray that you'll help us to integrate your word into our living every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.